Blog Talk Radio.
Of the class.
Yes.
And so before we get into your story, I did just want to say that because I do think that that is admirable.
Thank you so much.
Yes, definitely. So with that being said, what's your earliest memories of money growing up in your household? Was it something that was talked about?
No, not at all. It's actually something that I want to change with my kids that didn't happen in my household is to try to teach them young and early about investing. I mean, if we go back, basically, as a young boy, I had a dream of becoming a lawyer. And so I really put all my energy into that. I had to pay my way through college, had to pay my way through law school and graduate school. So technically, in regards to the better investing or the investing world, I actually got a late start. I'm a late bloomer, but I am highly believe in starting early. And that's why I believe so much in better investing and really send the message to everybody, especially the young people, to start early, because we know it makes such a big difference. The earlier you start, you're just at a much better advantage to really help you, your family, and your life go a lot smoother.
So when did you, because I think I've known you maybe for three.
Yes.
Almost maybe 4 years. So when did you, how did you hear about Better Investing, and when did you decide to join Better Investing?
You know, so it's, I found them on a fluke. I was at the library and they were doing what is it that they do in the spring?
Oh, Money Smart.
Tony Smart
was doing
week.
A Money Smart event. Exactly.
Yeah. So I went to a Money Smart event and I said, I've got to join this organization. I want to learn more about better investing. I want to learn more about investing for myself and for my family. This sounds like a great organization. And I started attending all the classes and really getting involved and delving into the whole thing again, because when I first got out of high school, I went right into college and I put all my energy into college. I had to pay my way through college. I worked full time while I went to school. So I also had to take out student loans, and my dream was to go to law school. I had to finance my law school and then my graduate school. When I finally got out of college and law school and graduate school, I was 30 years old. So I technically got a real late start. And when I came out with $100,000 in student loans. So I was already behind the gun. So basically, so the beginning is just catch up. I'm starting a new profession as a lawyer. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to get to know. So investing wasn't the main thing that I wanted to, that I had the time to. Not that I didn't want to, I wanted to, but I wish I would have started a lot earlier. So I'm actually getting a late start, but either way, now that I'm learning so much, I realize how important it is to get that head start, to get involved with better investing, learn how to do the analysis that you need to do with these companies, to hold, and I'm also a strong believer of the long-term investing, like better investing. I don't believe in any of that day trading or the get-rich-quick type of stuff. It's more long-term investing in good companies and finding your good companies that you really believe in and holding for the long term.
So graduating, finally finishing your law degree at 30 and, having $100,000 in debt, How long from 30 to when you found out about better investing? I mean, if you don't mind sharing your age when you first.
No, it took a while. You know, it's again, I always liked investing, and I always wanted to learn more about investing. But I really, really, when I got into better investing, that's when I started really learning the deep analysis. And it's not as hard as it, because the thing is, I think people, including myself, you're initially scared of it because you're like, whoa, that's too complicated. I don't know anything about investing. I hear that that's the same thing as gambling. And I think where everyone goes wrong, everyone gets confused between like day traders and people that are investing daily and buying and selling companies versus the long-term investors, which better investing represents. The you know, really doing the analysis of the companies and finding out a good company. And ultimately what you're doing is you're learning how to minimize your risk. You're not betting. You're actually doing something which anyone should do. You really should do your analysis to make sure, hey, look, there's a less chance. There's never a guarantee if you're going to lose your money. But you're decreasing your chances of losing and increasing your chances of winning or doing better. And then you add in the compounding and then the reinvesting of your dividends. It's a no-lose proposition, especially over time with the compounding of money. And you know that you're definitely going to be set up, at least to try to set yourself up for retirement. And the key is to make sure that when you do retire, you are comfortable. You don't have to be filthy rich. You don't have to say that, hey, I don't want to be Bill Gates or you know, some of these rich guys. But you want to be comfortable. I want to retire when I want to retire and in peace so I can be comfortable and never really lose a beat. And if you plan everything correctly, hopefully by the time you retire, you've paid off your house. You've got a nice nest egg, and then the income and the dividends that you can live off of, you live off comfortably like you were used to living when you were working full time.
So how long have you been a Better Investing member?
3.5 years now.
Okay. And what made you elevate your membership to being also a volunteer?
I've never found, and I've been part of a lot of organizations, but I've never found an organization that is so willing to share their knowledge. And there's so many resources available. And my weakness, I love learning. I just, as you can tell, I went to, you know, college, law school, graduate school, and you never stop learning. And I always want to continue learning till the day I die. There's not going to be a day that I love to read a book or learn something new or a new technique or, you know, whatever it is, especially if it's something that I like, which is law, business, finance, taxes, you know, that type of stuff, then I gobble it up. So when I started seeing that these, you know, a lot of organizations, you have to pay a lot of money so that they slowly trickle out bits and pieces, and they kind of hog a lot of the resources, and you have to pay a lot of money so they can even give you some of their resources. Where I saw Better Investing, they're not for profit. Their motto is to, you know, help people learn and get rich also, or learn how to invest. And they have so many resources available at your fingertips, videos, books, PowerPoint presentations. So I said, I got to be involved with this organization. I want to continue to learn for the rest of my life. And what better organization that you have all these different resources of all the different topics of investing right at your fingertips, available right on their website. And it's not expensive. It's so reasonable that I'm afraid to say this because I don't want them to keep raising their prices. Because they don't realize how valuable what they're giving away.
Exactly.
I'll gobble it up. I'll take it all day long. You know, I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to absorb and take as much in as I can and continue to take in as much as I can. and learn as much as I can, and then hopefully pass that on to everybody else. You know, and of course, definitely for my little ones, my two young twin 7-year-old daughters, I want them to grow up around this. And, you know, I've already got them set up with their, you know, investment account in a, what's called an UTMA, Uniform Transfers and Minors Act, which is a way for banks to have a trust type of trust fund where the account is in my name and I invest for them. But as soon as they turn 21, automatically that account is in their name. So whatever that nest egg is, they were able to benefit from the compounding. And then if I keep teaching them these principles and these techniques, hopefully they'll continue it and then they can pass it on, or they won't have any problem when they retire, and so on and so forth.
That's actually a phenomenal segue. As a father, what is your plan in the future, and what maybe have you been doing now to do for your daughters, but also to teach them while you're also learning? Because we have a lot of parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles listening in, and that's a constant question. You know, what are other parents and guardians doing for their kids?
Everything that I can. Now, I do. My children are 7 years old. Seven's a little bit young, but it's not too young for me to get in their ear, but their attention span is just a little short. So you have to just keep on it. Repetition. I do YouTube videos with them. I do. There's a real good cartoon by Warren Buffett, The Secret Millionaires Club. I watch those with them, and I try to see at the end of that of each of those little segments, they say, what did you learn out of that? Because each one has a little lesson in it, and then I try to reinforce those. And I know it's going to be a lifelong learning process. They're not going to get it overnight. It's going to take time. They're still young, but I just know that I didn't have that opportunity. My parents were from South America. They came here to America for the American dream. I'm a first-generation American, so they really weren't educated enough to put that in my ear. But I want to break that cycle to make sure that I pass that on to my children and so on and so forth. And hopefully they pass it on to their children and further generations and any other family members. I'm always wanting to talk about any tips or the stock market, if it's doing well, or try to educate people in any which way I can. Again, I think the motto, you might be able to correct me, that better investing is better investing members don't let their friends retire
broke.
So they come, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, the best gift you can give, I can give my kids, you know, expensive things that are going to eventually depreciate and they're not going to grow out of, or a doll or anything. But something that I can give them, a lifelong gift of learning, and teach them something that they can take a long way for a lifelong of investing and success and learning. Like the Bible and Jesus said, you know, you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a day. But you teach him how to fish and you feed him for life.
Exactly. So I think that the interesting thing about your story and about your journey is you found out about Better Investing through one of our public outreach events. So every April, which is Money Smart Month, or they used to say Money Smart Week, but we extended to a month of activities. Better Investing and all of its chapters are usually doing things in the community, whether it be community centers, library, working with different agencies of government to just put on events, and all of them are free. And not even maybe a year, no more than 2 years of you being exposed to that, you and I did a joint Money Smart Week event at the City of West Palm Beach Public Library.
Correct.
You know, you presented on estates and trust and wills and the importance of that type of planning, because you are a lawyer. And that's the type of law that you practice.
Correct.
And then I did the, you know, just a beginner intro to investing and better investing. But what makes you so comfortable in being willing to share as quickly as you learn? Because there are some beginner investors, even people in better investing, where, you know, they're learning, but I don't think they have the confidence yet to be willing to serve or to give because they feel like they may need to learn more.
Well, I do think that it's not, this is not something that's going to come overnight. You have to be patient, but you got to be persistent and you got to be hungry and you got to want to learn this stuff because it's for your best interest, and just keep at it and don't give up. But it's going to take time, and I get it. One of my flaws is I'm a perfectionist. I don't want to go and start telling people unless I got it down to a science where I'm so good at it, where I feel that I can start teaching other people. But at the same time, you just got to want to continue to learn as much as you can, and don't listen to the noise, because there's always going to be noise. Focus. Say, I want this. I'm going to continue to do this. Any roadblocks, sometimes it's going to be frustrating. Sometimes you're going to say, I don't get it. I don't get these concepts. They're over my head. It's too much. I don't have the time. You can always find an excuse. But the reality is, no one's going to look out for you better than you. So you might as well just buckle up and be persistent and keep learning. And eventually it's just like a brick wall. It starts breaking down. It gets easier and easier. And then you're like, hey, it's not that bad. But I do admit it does. It's not something that's overnight, but you just can't let that stop you from wanting to continue to learn this stuff. Because again, it's beneficial for you and your family and your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head. When you joined BI, and, you know, we can kind of go step by step, but how soon after finding out about BI and maybe even coming to your first class, it may have been a CASA class. I don't know. Do you remember which was one of the first events you attended after that library event?
It was a CASA class.
Okay. And how long after attending the CASA class did you join an investment club? Because your first investment club was an existing investing club that you
right joined. Away. I at the same time. So when I went to the Money Smart Week and I spoke to the gentleman that was holding that from Better Investing, his name was Tony, and he started telling me what Better Investing offers, and he invited me to one of the CASA classes. And then he told me that there's a lot of investment clubs. And I happened to ask him, well, I'm interested in participating in an investment club. And he said that the one that he's part of actually is open for new members, because he said some of them, I guess, were already closed to new members because they had enough members. And so it just happened to be that that one was in Palm Beach, right where I lived. So it wasn't too far. It's about half an hour away. I said, that's not bad at all. So I started attending that. They let me in. There's a little process you have to go through to get accepted. You have to attend so many meetings and so on and so forth. They want to see your commitment to the investment club. And so I just kind of just dove in head first. And I said, I don't know, this is an organization I want to be part of in almost every aspect as I can. And again, because I just have an insatiable appetite for learning. So I want to learn as much as I could, as fast as I could. And the resources are there. So it's just a matter of how much you can learn at a slower pace if you want to, and just kind of take in a little bit of time and be patient with it. Or you can spend, you know, every day, a little bit every day, learning a little bit and watching videos or doing presentations or whatever you want and whatever topics you want, and then get up to speed faster. So that's just up to the individual.
So talk to us about, just kind of walk us through that first experience of joining that club. You know, first of all, it's an existing club. the makeup of the club, I'm going to guess, is people majority over 50 years old, and you're a new investor. So just kind of walk us through, you know, were they warm? Were they inviting?
They were.
How did they answer your questions? You know.
Yeah, so they were very warm, very inviting. They basically said, listen, I was very intimidated because I didn't know what to expect. And I kind of was like, whoa, I kind of felt insecure, like I'm not going to be able to contribute enough. They said, listen, we understand that you're new, so we don't expect you to really start contributing for at least a year. So you could just come, show up, listen, take notes. If you ask questions, we'll answer them as best as we can. Now, I'll be honest, what I found is when in the club meeting, there's club business going on. They're talking about their current investments. They're talking about possible investments for the future. They're talking that they're doing the reading the minutes from the previous meeting, and they're doing an administrative task, and then they're doing the treasurer's report. So if I had like a lot of personal questions, it really wasn't the forum for me for personal questions. It was more to learn and then ask questions as I went. And in other words, to rephrase, it wasn't like they're going to take 15 minutes of their meeting time to just try to make me feel warm and fuzzy, but they were very comforting in the fact that they said, listen, just sit back and just grow, just have like an organic growth, and everything will fall into place. And it has in the last.
And they were transparent.
They were very transparent.
So just by sitting in the space where they're conducting their business and going over things, transparency, you were able to sit and learn.
Correct.
Listen and learn. Okay. Okay.
That's
good.
Exactly.
And it was good that they even told you, hey, we don't even expect you to really contribute in the first year.
Correct.
So even with that being said to you, about how long did it take you to feel like you had caught a certain rhythm? Three months, six months, nine months?
I would say the year. I that's a good thing. Kind of once they said that, when I said, listen, we understand that it could actually take a year for you to really start contributing. So that took a lot of pressure off of me. Like,
right,
okay,
right,
I
right.
can just sit back and really truly learn and focus on me feeling comfortable. And I don't have to feel like, right out of the gate, I'm not contributing or I'm not doing my part. And that really helped with my, with me personally, with my, just my self-esteem. And then I did that. And I think it literally, if I look back, it literally took approximately about a year before I started feeling comfortable to really start contributing, really start putting in my input. And in between there, I kind of did a lot of homework on my own. I would go back and I would, you know, review, you know, whatever the certain companies that they went over. And then I, you know, slowly learned how to read a value line report, slowly learned how to do an SSG. I slowly started learning about the buy concepts and the P&E. I think my biggest, the one that I had the most trouble was kind of getting my hands and grip around the
PE concept. Yeah.
Once I got that, it started kind of slowly coming a little faster, mm-hmm. a little smoother. But mm-hmm. again, the key, I just never to give up. Do not get intimidated. Do not let yourself feel that it's too complicated or I'm not going to get it or giving up. You never give up because, again, it's too important for you and your family and your friends.
Yeah, and I'm glad you stated it like that, Christian, because I think that first part of showing up and just being present and being open and listening, that's the biggest part to growth, you know, and you, the club giving you that permission and you giving yourself that permission, that's the biggest part. A lot of times in these spaces, it's okay not to actively have something to say or an idea or a stock or an analysis, you know, just showing up and asking a question or taking notes or saying, because this you are the king of this. So, and you will rephrase it. Let me just make sure I understand this. So if I do this and I divide it by this, and you're like, oh, okay. And I think that is that type of contribution of a beginner also helps those that have been around for a long time, because beginners add a certain novelty and a newness and a different way of relating that we may not have experienced before. So I did just want to make that clear and make that statement to make it clear that there are two levels of contributing. The first level is just being present and being there. And then the second one is the active, you know, giving ideas and being responsible for homework. But you just being in the space and learning, and like you said, doing your homework and taking notes, that is contributing. And that is how you prove, number one, that you want to be there, and it gets you ready to contribute. So I just wanted to say that after what you just said, to give people a little encouragement of being patient with themselves.
And I'll tell you, I will not lie. There's been many a time, even still today, but more so, especially at the beginning, where you get very frustrated. You can't let that frustration and those roadblocks deter you, because you will be frustrated. For example, on the PE concepts, why can't I get this? Why can't I figure it? How come, you know, why is this so difficult? But you don't give up, because if you do, then you've lost. And like you said, showing up is half the battle. So a lot of times I tell myself, I'm going to put it away. I'm frustrated. I'm just going to put it down. I'll show up with the next meeting, and hopefully slowly over time it'll come. And sure enough, over time it did come.
It did come. And I mean, you've come to 3 beginner classes. Mm-hmm. You've come to probably all of our CASA classes. When I say our, I mean the South Florida chapter of Better Investing's CASA classes. I think the answer to frustration, which is what you just said, anybody that's frustrated in their journey can take a lesson from Christian Posada and keep showing up. Because if you just keep showing up, keep being in the place,
right,
keep being exposed to the concepts and the vocabulary and the uses and the people, then eventually you will get the hang of it. You will get the hang of it. And, you know, that's just a word of encouragement for a lot of people as they start out. They may be 3 months, 1 month, a year, 2 years in. Just please keep showing up, because it will click.
That's it. And you know, a lot of times say, you know, it's worth it. It's worth your time. A lot of times, because the CASA classes are on Saturdays. So Saturdays, it's kind of hard to give up a Saturday morning. But if you're talking your future, your retirement, your family's future, it's worth it. So there's always going to have to be some level of sacrifice. And that comes back to the hunger. You've got to be hungry. You've got to want it. You've got to want to learn the stuff. And then relaying what the lesson you're saying is, if it is a lot and it is going to be frustrating, but if you just show up and you show up enough, even if that's all you do for the week is just show up for that weekly meeting, you're going to get something out of it. And maybe not the first week, maybe not the second week, but eventually it's going to start sinking in little by little until you grasp the concept. So the most important lesson is never give up.
Exactly. And going back to, you know, you being a lawyer and you having $100,000 in student debt, how has the principles of better investing and the exposure to the concepts that you mentioned, compound interest, time value of money, investing over the long term, how has those concepts informed your finances? You know, have you started paying off more on your student loan? Have you started a SEP IRA, you know, since you are self-employed? You know, what are some of the things that you've started to do differently financially by being a member of Better Investing?
Well, I'm taking advantage of every tool available that's available out there, whether it's a 529 plan for my kids and investing in that. So make sure that and dollar cost averaging to make sure you put in whatever you can on as consistent as you can at the very minimum of monthly, if you can weekly, just every avenue, whether it's an IRA, Roth IRA, HSA, 529 plan. And I can go a little bit about those and the pros and cons. Like I said, the UTMA, the bank account, the UTMA advantage of bank accounts have for minors, the Uniform Trust and Minors Act. What other concepts? Just learning the different, you know, kicking the tires with different brokerage accounts, whether it's the Robinhood or the Charles Schwab or TD Ameritrade or Fidelity, and kind of, you know, throwing in, you know, $500 into an account and start playing with it. And just sometimes it's better to just dive into it, because that's how you're going to learn. It's just practicing and doing it and not being scared of, hey, I'm going to lose it or I'm not going to know what I'm doing. If you don't dive in, you're definitely, if you don't start, then you're guaranteed to never know it. So might as well just dive in and then you get it as you go.
I really like that. Yes. If you don't start, you will never know it. And I think that, yeah. And once you can make that step, then you can learn from the step you just made, and you can be able to pick up more as you continue to walk in the learning of this. Let me pull on your professional experience, right? Because you are a lawyer in the state of Florida. And I wanted to ask this too, because I think that when people, people hear the word investing, depending on where they are on the socioeconomic scale, they may feel like, that's not for me. Number one, I didn't go to school, or I didn't go to school for finance or accounting, or I don't have an advanced degree. A lot of people, I think, even just hearing investing, depending on where they are in their life, may discount what they can do. So on the one hand, I want you to talk about how, even though you decided to become a lawyer, that did not mean that you knew how to become an investor. Because I think sometimes
100%.
People that don't have degrees may make certain assumptions like, oh, well, they went to school such and such, so that means that they already knew. And a lot of even educated folks have to start from ground zero
100%
when learning about investing.
No, correct. Exactly. I mean, I don't care if you're a bottle washer, dishwasher, garbage man. The key, and this is where Better Investing concepts are so important. If you just look at just the history, if you just do, that's why education is so, so important, to really show some of the graphs or examples of people that, how they started. Like Warren Buffett, you start small, but you be consistent. It's more like you said, the concept of showing up. You show up and you put what you can in. I don't care if it's $25 a week or $25 a month, but you do that consistently. And you start with the basics. If you don't know how to pick, or you don't feel comfortable picking specific stocks, then you start with an S&P 500 index or one of the index, which are low cost. And then you just start reading articles and start and consistently putting in. So with the concepts of dollar cost averaging, which is putting in consistently, and then compounding with reinvesting the dividends that those investments get and reinvesting them And then those compound to a bigger amount and so on and so forth. And at the same time, as you're doing that, you continue learning and honing your skills. So you get better at, you know, how I can get better at what I'm doing, whether it's now picking specific stocks or analyzing when to sell, when to buy, what to sell. Like we talked about, more complicated concepts like the price to earnings ratio or the sell signals. And also, very important, when not to panic, not to follow the herd, not to follow when everybody's getting into a stock. Sometimes it might be too late because the price has already gone out. So knowing kind of basically if everyone's selling in panic mode, don't learn to hold or not panic and really do your analysis and really delve deeper into, let's say, the company or the stock market, whatever it is that you're invested in, to make sure that, is this the time to sell? Or is this the time to buy more, actually? Maybe instead of selling, I buy more. And then again, if you stick to the concept of dollar cost averaging, the way it really should work is just autopilot. If you put in, let's say, $25 a month, you don't really even care if it goes up or down, because when it's down, you're buying more shares for that $25. And when it goes up, you're benefiting because it went up. So you just keep going on riding the wave up and down. But over time, over years of analysis, the grid still keeps going up, up, up at a slight parallel over time, over years. And that's the concept of dollar cost averaging and compounding. And you maximize those concepts and you continue to learn as you're taking advantage of those key concepts. And then you just get better.
Exactly. Wow, Christian. Man, I don't think we've had a guest like you break it down so simply. But I am very appreciative that you're on and sharing it, because what everybody is listening to and who everybody's listening to right now is our guest today, Christian Posada, who is a member of Better Investing for 3.5 years. But he's not just a member. He has upped his membership to become a volunteer. And what you're listening to is someone who didn't know anything about investing before joining Better Investing, has joined Better Investing, has joined his first investment club shortly after coming in contact with Better Investing, and then even this summer joined another investment club, Christian. So Christian is a member of the South Florida chapter Model Investment Club. Tell us why you decided to join a second investment club, Christian.
You know why? Because I love learning, and sometimes you're going to be around different investors and different mindsets. So I want to learn from every angle. The more exposure I have to other people's opinions, other people's thoughts, other people's experiences, other people's backgrounds, the more I'm going to learn. So it can't hurt. And again, I just love to learn. And so I said, this is a great opportunity. I got to take advantage of this opportunity to learn as much as I can. And it can't hurt if you make a little money along the way. But one of the first concepts that I really think that's most important to pass along is the key difference between, there's a lot of noise out there, to make that clear distinction between an investor and a trader. Where someone who's, there's a lot of people selling trading out there that's going to say, hey, trading. And that's what I think, and that's what I thought. That's what intimidated me at the beginning, is because a lot of what I thought about investing in the stock market, the first thought that came to my mind, which now I know is considered trading.
Exactly.
And that intimidated me because I said, well, you know, that's why they say it's kind of like gambling. You might as well just throw your money out. But then once I learned that there's really two different types of people that invest in the stock market. One is the true investors, which is the long-term hold analysis, And what we're learning here, which is really what I want to pass on to everybody, and I think that everybody needs to learn. Then there's the day traders or the traders that kind of think that they're smarter than the market. They're going to really beat or really try to get that one big win or the windfall, or they think they're going to get rich quick. The key here is patience, tenacity, endurance, consistency, and just keep on going, keep on learning, keep on investing and doing it for the long term, and having patience to really not panic, even if there's a down, to learn to take advantage of those downs of actually buying opportunities. I'm actually reading a really good book right now. It's called The Laws of Wealth, and it's by Dr. Daniel Crosby, and it's Psychology and the Secrets to Investing Success. One of the key things is talks about the human brain by default panics when things are going bad. And when things are going good, they feel all confident. They get greedy. They think that this is, you know, how smart they are. And so it's really tricking your own human mind that it's normal to do that, to learn to say, hey, when everyone is selling and getting out, analyze, still do your due diligence and your analysis. This might be the time to buy, to get in, as long as you're finding good companies. And again, when you learn how to do the company analysis and say, hey, this company is actually a good risk. And then the same with when everyone is saying, hey, you need to buy the most expensive stock on the market because everyone's doing it for the fear of missing out. And instead, still do your analysis, but 9 times out of 10, it might not be the time to buy. And so just learning those little tricks and concepts, again, but those come over time. Most important lesson to learn, especially for the beginners or the basics, is just to be consistent. Continue to drip in, like a little faucet drip. Just keep putting in whatever you can. Any spare change you have, $5, $10, $25, $50, whatever you can afford. If you need to give up the Starbucks coffee or, you know, going out to dinner, money, you go out to dinner nowadays, it's $100. Well, if you, you know, maybe you sacrifice one of those dinners every month and put it into the stock market, put it into something simple as an index fund until you feel comfortable to start investing on individual companies and you feel comfortable that you've mastered the skills or the things that are needed. But the resources are all there with Better Investing. They're there to learn the PE ratios, the sell signals, the the growth trends, how to analyze the companies, how to read a value line report, how to decide if this company is a good risk or not. And then there's a lot of tips out there too in Better Investing where people are giving out tips. So then you could follow up with those tips, and then it saves you a lot of time. If someone give you a good tip, they recommend it's in the buy range, then you do your own analysis, you confirm that, and you're willing to take that risk and you take it. And you just keep doing that until you multiply yourself into a good position for retirement. And I think that should be the key, is to retire comfortably.
So, Ken, is it safe to assume that because you've been diligent about your investment education through Better Investing, you've become a more sound and confident investor?
I would say so, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, cool. And the other thing I wanted to get into before we close out the show is, as people are thinking about building wealth, as you just have, as recent as within 5 years, and I'm sure, you know, even more because you've owned your own business for a while now, from a, you know, will, trust, estate perspective, what should people start to also add to the back of their mind as they build up these this financial wealth through stocks, retirement accounts, mutual funds? What can they start to think about or ask themselves to make sure that they leave the wealth in a way that they want to, and it's not squandered because of lack of planning?
Well, that's an important question. I do a lot of wills, trust, and probate work, and I've seen a lot of families. The reality is we all know, but no one wants to think about it, that we're all going to die one day. The time's going to come where we don't live forever. But as you're younger, you don't think about it as much. But it happens to young people too. So it's very, very important to protect what you have so it transfers to your loved ones, your children, your spouse at the time of death, and as smoothly and as less stressful as possible. I mean, I've seen families as, you know, young as a 31-year-old that passed away, and she had a good job. She had a family, two young toddlers, and a husband, and a house. And she started getting into a lot of investment property and real estate. And she left a big mess because the real estate was all over the place. It was all over different states and trying to do the rental properties. And then the family had, then they didn't, you know, they didn't have access to a lot of her records. They also then had to deal with the renters. Then the renters started taking advantage of the situation. So you got to be very careful. I'm not saying real estate's not good. It's just you just got to think far ahead. God forbid something does happen. You want the smooth transition to the family members. So that's all. It's just to really educate yourself. That's more education also, is to educate yourself. So what you have worked hard to grow for your family is able to pass on to your next generation as smooth as possible. But some of the key concepts is really to teach your young ones the learning that you're learning so then they can take that with them.
Exactly. And I think one of the biggest lessons or gifts, I should say, that a parent can give their child is learning how to do for themselves, because it's one thing to give them something, but if they don't know, as a past guest wrote in an article, Gerald Grant III and his father, Gerald Grant Jr., wrote in an article, you know, if you leave your child, I'm going to say a Maserati, but you never teach them how to drive the car, I mean, your mind can take you to places of how that situation is going to end. So, any books that you can recommend both on the investing side and also maybe the will, trust, estate planning side that you may want to recommend for people to pick up as they continue their educational journey?
Sure. I mean, like I said, the one that I'm reading now is The Laws of Wealth. This is more a little more advanced. This is more like learning how to really learn the psychology of investing and not to panic when everyone else is panicking. And it kind of teaches you, it kind of just tells you about the human psyche and how to not fall into what is our brains are regularly programmed to, not to listen to all the noise around you and kind of believe in yourself. And if you have a plan, to stick with your plan. In regards to the estate planning, think I have any particular book, but I think that the most important thing is to take advantage of the tools that are available for you. For example, if you do open up an investment account or a bank account or or any of these accounts that are available to you, to make sure that you learn, you know, how to open, title those accounts. Is it going to be owned by joint tenants with rights of survivorship? So God forbid something happens to you, it automatically passes to your spouse or your loved one, or filling out the change of beneficiary forms. You don't know how many cases I've done where there's a big account, a brokerage account or a bank account or even an insurance policy or anything, where the person just didn't take the time to fill out the change of beneficiary form. So when they die, those assets will automatically pass to their loved ones who they decided to pass it to. And now the family has to deal with a very expensive probate process, which is very expensive, very stressful, very time consuming. It's very confusing for the family because they don't know about this. And the only ones that, you know, really end up making money on that are the lawyers. And it's, and if you would just do a little bit of planning, maybe even if you're not comfortable, then spend a little money for a professional, whether it's a lawyer, accountant, fiduciary, financial advisor, financial planner, to tell you, hey, listen, this is how I should structure it. This is, you know, and then each case is different. No one case is the same, because some people are going through divorces. Some people are going, you know, want to leave it to their spouse. Some people want to make sure that their kids are taken care of. Some people want to take care of their mother or so on and so forth. So there's different avenues and different things, or there's no one size fits all. So really it's educating yourself and learning and not neglecting those things too, or not ever thinking, hey, I'm young, I'm going to live forever, I'll worry about that later. Well, later might be too late. No better time than the present to learn those concepts now, especially as you're young. And again, you're not going to learn them overnight, but just be persistent and consistent and continue to learn a little every day to just better yourself every day.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right on point and right on time. And I'll give an action item to everyone listening. If you are new, especially to those that are new investors, if you have a Robinhood account, if you have a Charles Schwab account, if you have a TD Ameritrade account, if you have any type of brokerage account that you just opened up with a little bit of money, and you've even, if you bought one share of one stock on any platform, please, before next session, next class, next My Investing Story, go into that account and add your beneficiary. Because more often than not, you open that account with only your name. So if you are married, just add your spouse. If you have kids and you want to split it 50-50, you know, if you want to give it to your sister, give it to your mother, your brother, your father, I would say that the first action item is literally just adding the beneficiary on the account that you already have. Because what Christian just said is so important. And it takes less than 5 minutes to do. It really takes 2 minutes. But please have that be the first step in what you can call estate planning. And that's just taking the opportunity to add a beneficiary on current accounts that you already have. Even if you don't own real estate, even if you don't have $1,000, if you have one share of one stock or any one of those platforms, please be sure that you log in and add a beneficiary, because number one, you'll be learning how to properly plan and direct your assets after your, you know, unfortunate passing, whenever that is going to be. But two, you also get to do something with the knowledge that you just listened to here. So Christian, go ahead.
And especially with technology nowadays, in the olden days, you actually had to have them send you a beneficiary form, fill it out.
Have a notary.
Have it notarized, put it in the mail, send it out. Now they have these things right online where you could just go right online, but no one's going to tell you, hey, this is what you got to do. You got to go do and look for it. You got to ask.
Exactly.
They got
exactly.
800 hotlines where you can ask, say, hey, I want to make sure that my beneficiaries are in order. And they'll say, okay, go to this link, walk to this. This is where you can find the form, fill it out online, put in, you know, your loved one's Social Security, so on and so forth. So they got it. And then check that. This is a new year. Check it once a year. Review it, because things change. People die. People get divorced. Things change. There's, for whatever reason, you don't know, but just revisit it. Try to get in the habit of revisiting it once a year, at the very minimum, at least every 5 years. You don't not, again, we all hope that we're going to live to 100. The reality is we don't know if we're going to live till tomorrow or to 100, but you better be prepared. It's going to be easier for you. And then I also have the people that say, well, it's not my problem. Let my family deal with it. But what they don't realize is I've seen cases with my own eyes where they just, instead of giving your family what you intended, a gift, you gave them a nightmare. And then it ended up costing so much in litigation, in costs, in attorney's fees, that it wasn't worth anything. That people walk away from money. I've seen people walk away from property because they can't afford to pay the homeowners association and they can't afford to pay the taxes. And then there's a foreclosure. They don't have the money to, first of all, to pay the expensive taxes and the HOA. And then now they have to hire a lawyer to defend the foreclosure. They don't have it. So they got to let it go. And that's just one example. Same with insurance policies or other brokerage accounts that are in there, but they just don't have the money to do the probate, to process the probate because it wasn't done properly. So they just got to forget it, let it go. And guess where that money goes? That goes to the state eventually. So your intention was to leave it to your loved ones and they didn't even get the benefit of it. So just look at that. Check those things out. And if you don't plan on, if you don't care about anyone, then spend it yourself. Then see what you have and you know, go on a nice vacation. But it's better than going to the state or losing it all together and no one getting it.
You're exactly right. And so as we close, I'm going to ask Ms. Ann if she has any questions or comments. And then, Christian, I'll let you have the last words.
Well, Ann just put in real quick, she put Joe Robbie as a classic case. And the most recent one, Prince, is going through serious estate and a lot of fights between the families and the courts. That's another situation where he didn't do any proper estate planning. Maybe he didn't think he had to, or he'll get to it eventually. But anyways, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, or he just didn't know. And I think when we found out about Prince, we also, I think, found out about Aretha Franklin. So that should just let all of us know that no one is above it all. And even though they're successful in one area, specifically their career, it does not mean that they know how to do this. So please do not sell yourself short from learning this and taking advantage and doing what you can to better your situation. Because a lot of times it's just simple education or being in the right organization, like Better Investing, being around the right people, asking the right questions, because none of it's hard to do. It's exactly what Christian said. Nobody's going to tell you to do it. When you open up a Robinhood account, they're not going to ask you to add a beneficiary. But it's one of the best things you should do if you want to hold on to your money. Because what's the point of making money if you're not spending it and then you can't even leave it to somebody else all because you did not know what to do?
That's right. That's agreed.
Well, seldom am I speechless. And what you did for us tonight, Christian, is you brought a different perspective, like Ayomi said, in terms of the whole idea of investing. We started out talking about the phenomenal organization that we're all three of us are volunteers with Better Investing. And for those who are listening to the program for the very first time, you can go to betterinvesting.org and get details and more information about the organization that was established in 1951. And it is a national 501c3 nonprofit organization that has helped over 5 million people learn how to invest. But like Christian brought to our attention, what good is it if you learn how to invest, you make this money, you save this money, and then you don't take care of the other side to protect what you've earned with what you're learning? And so, Ayoni, again, a phenomenal job in the interview. And Christian, I think we may need to have you back to talk about what we just finished wrapping up about these individuals, because we're making the point. But when you connect the story, whether it's Robbie, Joe Robbie, or Prince, or Aretha, or many, many, many others that you know of, these are the nameless, but the fact that we're not protecting. And Ayoni and I, our family, we have our own story, but one of the reasons this show was created, hashtag my investing story, your investing story, her investing story. Everybody has an investing story, but everybody's not willing to deal with that. It's not, it's neither good nor bad. It just is. And so our desire is to bring forward the information and the education to help people protect and also invest what they earn. All right. So thank you. And Ione, giving you the last words, any last closing comments?
Sure. Go ahead, Christian.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's absolutely a pleasure. You guys are a pleasure. I'll be happy and to welcome me back if you guys want me back. Whatever topics or anything you'd like me to discuss, I have no problem. Thank you again for believing in me and having confidence in me to speak here. And again, I agree with everything you say. And again, these are important points. And again, the most important thing is if we can just help one more person or convince one person to believe in themselves and in the story of investing for themselves for the long term, then if you help one person, then you know, you just keep trickling down and compounding with the education.
Exactly, exactly right. And thank you so much, Christian, for
thank
your
you.
Time and your service. And it was not hard for me at all to invite you because, you know, like I said before, I've been watching you come be a part of the meetings, volunteer your time, be a part of the Better Investing South Florida Chapter Board, and yeah, be a part of the Better Investing Beginner Investing class and ask questions. And, you know, I am so encouraged when I see adults who don't shy away from being beginners and willing to be humble enough to ask the questions. And, you know, some people say, oh, I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to look like I don't know. And they don't know that they already don't know. So what does it matter? You know, and with you always sitting at the front of the class, always being engaged, always willing to admit that you are frustrated and you just got to wait until next month because this is over my head. You would just be like.
Just like you said, when you go put up the brokerage account, they're not going to say, hey, make sure we're going to sit here and wait till you make sure you put the beneficiary account. No one's going to worry more about you than you. And don't worry about what people think. Don't worry that they're going to say, oh, I'm not going to look smart or I'm not going to do. It's you that you got to worry about. And all that will fall into place. Forget the noise and concentrate on you and do what you know is best for you.
And I think we're going to end the show with that because I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you so much, Christian.
Thanks, guys.
I will see you soon.
We have
our model investment club in 2 Saturdays from now. And thank you so much for being involved in your service and your contributions. Oh, and
thank you guys. I'm really impressed on what you guys have got it all together, very organized, the way you guys have streamlined, the way you guys set everything up for me. It was excellent. I really applaud you guys and what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. And we just really want to be a service for all those that are non-BI members so that we can share with them the benefits of BI. And like you said, at least just help one person so that they can in turn help another. So with that, thank you, Christian. Thank you, Ms. McNeil. And thank you to all of our participants listening on. We'll see you all next Wednesday on hashtag My Investing Story. Have a beautiful week.
You guys have a great week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Goodbye.